report. We've managed as an organization to spend that up at 11 million rand for those employees around the program, around your executive coaching that has been given to management. Because it's very important that managers are kept up to date in terms of development, in terms of leadership and management. But very important is the issues around performance management, financial management, and our role in terms of the regulator, in terms of monitoring and evaluation. They were given forecasts. But in other levels, because there are people that must be able to take over from people of level upwards. Make the management level, we have to put them through your accelerated development program for meet the managers, your issues of project management and so forth. So that you can build this pipeline of ensuring that the organization succeeds going forward. But the organization in terms of training, in terms of training and development, they have not focused on the people that are moving the chairs in an organization around issues of your AVEX, your issues of your computer skills. And there is also the mention around training of people that were always struggling to retain, your people in the SAT, which is the system that the CFO has referred to. And we are very pleased, as the Minister has indicated, that we pride ourselves as an organization that we are part of an effort to contribute to our skills revolution. The efforts that were fair around putting up the Learning Academy is a testimony to our commitment. We might not yield the desired results now, but it's a good investment in terms of the sector, and we see some of these results. And we can indicate that we have given external bursaries, we continue the internship program and learnership program, but mostly important is about the experiential training that we're giving. The partnership with the institution was one of the issues that you referred. It is a great benefit. Leadership decided that the money that we normally use to manage to administer in terms of bursaries is given to those institutions that have a memorandum of understanding. And you can see that your issues of your interest that accumulate because you don't pay on time, those are the issues that are taken out of the teacher immediately is managed by the universities. But it also gives us an opportunity to influence the curriculum, because the curriculum, it has always been an issue that in certain instances it doesn't respond to the needs of the sector we are in, and then we are able to use that as a leverage to engage at that level. And mostly importantly, we also help the university themselves to ensure that these people, when they exit, they get back into the sector, and their formal contracts that are entered into with the people that are registered as professional trainees. That's a highlight. We have also dealt with the question of restructuring. The organization, as well said, it has reorganized itself. During the period under review, the branch region structure was approved. The DDG would indicate in her report, we have strengthened the regions because the region are the delivery arm of the organization. That's where the work takes place. They have to provide the kind of support, ensure that integrated planning happens at the right level. There's been those kind of positions that have been created, the high-level positions, so that we're able to interact at both provincial level and local government level. The finance structure is one of the examples that we have dealt with. We have the CFO, the deputy CFO, and when we're reviewing the capacity issues around the finance. And then corporate services itself, because we have continuously been having challenges that we continuously brief the Kofono Committee in our interactive processes. We have tried to ensure that this tracker gets approved and given the right capacity that we need. One of the matters that came up was around the issues of rollover when it comes to transfer. We had a huge delay because we had protracted negotiations with labor, with SALGA and the other parties in terms of water services transfer. Ultimately, we can be very pleased to note that by the time we finish the financial year, we have managed to get into an agreement. Because that agreement becomes an instrument that facilitates the issues of smooth transfer of staff so that you don't have delays, rather than to engage with individual municipalities. And we're expecting to start to move very fast in concluding those transfer processes. In terms of the transformation of the state, we've just put only few highlights here. The reason why we put the question of the DWOF, in terms of the DWOF, with the minister through her leadership, while we are constructing that dam in the Skukune district municipality, the minister has always been very conscious about the interests of the state in terms of an economy that benefits all. Through this, for the first time, we were able to get an agreement between the Minister of Water Affairs at the national level, the Premier of the province in the form, and the executive mayor at a district level to show how intergovernmental relations work and integrated planning. We managed to come up with this charter to contribute to issues of job creation where we have put even targets that in this financial year 07-08 we need to start to report how have we contributed in creating 50% of the minimum jobs for the locals in that particular district. Also to ensure that the money that we are going to be spending on training we are contributing to the skills revolution, because if you build an infrastructure, we must look at the long-term implication in terms of the skills that we need and want to use that opportunity. We have also said that in terms of contribution to broad-based black economic empowerment, our affirmative black enterprises need to be able to get a share in terms of the resources that are going to be spent there. These are the targets that we have said. It's an achievement that we have got this kind of an agreement or a charter. We have to monitor to say, have we reached the targets that the dealership have agreed to? As a matter of compliance under corporate services, there's always been an issue that a number of government departments have not submitted service delivery improvement plan, so that we can ensure that citizens are satisfied with the services we provide. We've managed to do a compliance in terms of this one. We've submitted it to the Department of Public Services and Administration. But it's also important that to note that there are a number of surveys that are giving very good results. In terms of the citizen satisfaction survey we did with the Public Service Commission around this issue, we have done well. We can make even copies available to the members of the committee, portfolio committee, on request. But we got those positive results. This is another statement around transformation that in as much as we have seen the overuse of consultants, but the department has looked at this matter very carefully to say when we source some of our work, how are we ensuring that there is participation of women, the young people and so forth in terms of broadly economic empowerment. We have just finalized that audit, of which we still have to present the report to management and the minister for consideration. On women empowerment, this is an area that the minister also made a commitment towards the end of last year, which this report is part of the period under review. We just have to indicate that this program around women empowerment is mostly at the consolidation phase, in getting the strategies correct, in ensuring that we do the mobilization and understanding within the organization, and we have made a lot of progress in terms of creating that understanding within the organization. But I can mention that a number of programs within the department have indeed contributed to issues of creation of jobs and participation of women if you look at the main program of an organization. The other matter that we also included as a highlight here is around the progress that we have made towards the completion of the disaster recovery implementation framework for all system in an organization, because it's very important. As members are aware that we have outsourced the IT contract, and then the governance structures are also in place. In terms of the challenges, they came out in terms of the minister's address and the acting teacher's address, but we can still reconfirm that it still remains a challenge that we have to tackle the inability to attract and retain technical skills. But there are initiatives in place that we are convinced that if well implemented, will achieve the desired results. And we need also to ensure that there is a review in terms of the training strategy for forestry to ensure that there is an alignment to the requirements of the charter, because immediately you have a charter, it starts to give you new challenges that you need to reorientate yourself to respond to those issues. And then we still say that there is still another issue that we need to pay more emphasis in terms of our public awareness and education campaigns around the general understanding of putting water and forestry issues at the forefront in terms of the public discourse. That's the initiative that we want to pay more attention to. And then indeed the question of improving the gender mainstreaming to give it more visibility remains the marching orders that have been given by the minister that we are putting all systems to deal with that matter. And then in terms of the reporting system, mostly around the achievement of the transformation goals of the state, we have to finalize the question of the evaluation systems and tools so that we can be in a position to respond to say, what are these citizens feeling after we've provided certain things, the impact that we're making. That's what the system needs to address. And then the last page that we have is that some of the high-level interventions that we've put in place. We have shared with our portfolio committee the question of the turnaround strategy to say what does it seek to achieve, and on a quarterly basis it gives us comfort that we do report to say what has been the milestone and continuously get guidance around the implementation of that strategy. And then we have also said that we are going to push systems in place to ensure that we have very hard with business and communication unity in the organization to deal with the issues of public understanding. And then the last part that I can mention is that we will be finalizing the implementation of the institutional realignment as a project as a minister is directed up to do. And then we will also be also engaging on the organizational realignment so that we can deal with all these issues of the ongoing restructuring as in the minister's speech was alluded to. That will be the summary of the issues, Chair, that we pick it up that we will share with the members to the report. If there are issues that I might have missed, I'll be guided so that that time we can respond to them. I thank you.
Welcome, Honorable Van der Walt. Let's engage on some questions from Ryan. Your hand is up. And Mosala.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me first start off with the question on finance. It's page 17 of the annual report. The challenges is they say the monthly expenditure report on the trading account were not submitted to the head of the department and executive authority. It's still cut over to the SAP system. The first report is suspected to be available at the end of March 2007. I just want to find out if that first report is submitted because we passed the date of March 2007. Then, on the women's empowerment, according to the annual report, they had some events, breakfast seminars, they had event in the Popo province. What I want to find out, were the required objectives obtained that they set out themselves for through these events? And what was the impact? Is it measurable if there was any impact at all? I hope so. Chairperson, just on some of the strategies that I set out, which if one look at what they reported here, some of them were not obtained. The one, if I can just refer them to page 21 on the effective efficiency of the information system. There they said the system availability, they won 99.9%. System availability, they only achieved 90%. What is the cause of that? Isn't that just a problem? How did they address that to improve that? Also on the 100% compliance to the best practice on NIA and TFO, the big press, they say they only completed 80%. Why is that? What is the reason for that? Then I'm very interested in the strategic objective to promote and enhance public awareness. They set a target of 100% media coverage for program. Now, in the actual performance, they say 100% media coverage through 11 TV interviews, 300 radio interviews, and 4 media briefings. How do they measure this? Is that 100%? I think there's more than how did they got to the standard of being this being 100% coverage? Jefferson, and then just the last one. They say that one of the problems was creating a performance management driven culture. How do they intend to, why do you see problems with this? How do they intend addressing this performance management driven culture? How do they intend improving on that? Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. My question really relates to performance bonus that I not say. The question would be who adjudicates and finally approves payment of bonuses? And in terms of morale, has this had any impact on the morale of employees, right? And then the retention strategy developed, approved, and implemented. If my memory serves me well, this is not the first reference to this strategy. Is it available for scrutiny? That's my question. Because I would be very interested to see it and satisfy myself that it's a study that exists and as it is indicated here, it is implemented already, so it should be available. But of course it's available on this study. And lastly, under challenges, slide number 8, your bullet 4 there refers to need to improve on gender mainstreaming. How do we differentiate this from slide 9, bullet 4 again there of capacity building on gender mainstreaming? Is this one and the same thing, or how do they differentiate challenges?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My question is based on slide number 5 with regard to service delivery improvement plan, finalized and so I just wanted to finalize as to whether is this plan implemented to GTSA? When is this plan going to be implemented? Because that's the area where most of the people on the ground are actually complaining about. And on the slide number 8, you think that's the challenges. It says the inability to attract and retain technical skills. So I actually wanted to find out as to whether is this retention because of related to money problems where you couldn't even retain those skills, or is there any other factors that is affecting people who need to move on this department? And another one is with regard to insufficient public awareness with regard to water and forest. So I just wanted to find out as whether are you not actually doing enough publicity with regard to help people to understand that we've got this problem of scarcity of water in our country. How are you going to try to overcome this problem? Because once we couldn't make sure that people understand that we've got this problem might continue. So I just wanted to find out if this is a challenge, what are you doing in the country? What is the strategy or what's the plan to change that? Thank you.
I don't know.
you, Honourable Member. Speak closer to the mic. Speak closer to the mic, we can't hear.
I want to know whether here, I made a sense of academic achievement, all the students. But we have a lot of people who have been working in the past of time, prior to the experience to the other person, they don't have much of a qualification. Are they being taken into account with the skills, sentences, limits? And then on page 4, that is, here we also speak about, some provision from, are we really facing issues in order to meet the constitutional requirements? Ability and so on, and the sense of guilty. I realize somewhere that the main thing is a white man. And a white man experiences and having a lot of reality. There are so many problems, and if there are no black women who are going to tell you, but that's why it is a problem for every more white man who is carried to tell you where that do not have anything to do.
You'll have to wait to answer the gender. I say to you want to respond to, should you break the constitution. No, not now, you need to answer. Honorable Tao?
No, thank you very much. I would have wanted to repeat some questions that I've asked already. But I'm more interested in this one of skills retention. Also, it might also serve as a follow-up on the last question. My interest is in the main related to the extent to which the department has put in place systems that ensures that we don't have an exodus of skills that comes back later to provide a service that they could not provide when they were in the department as external service providers. And I would say the reason why I'm raising this question, it's precisely because of the over-dependence on external service providers, and immediately pricks the question, who are these service providers that are so technically, that have got such a know-how of what the department needs? Where did they require or acquire the skill for them to be able to provide the department with this kind of a skill that is so needed in the department? And if so, what is it that the department has put in place as a, maybe lack of a better word, as a defensive mechanism to ensure that you don't have a counter strategy that works against the department in achieving its own objectives as you advise your program? Thank you.
The last question, from my side, and that is, I think the minister also mentioned it this morning, and probably the acting DG also, on the aspect of the transformation. And it runs through water service, forestry, all of them. Can we get an indication from the department, not when the transformation is going to end, but as things evolve in the country, what was envisaged that time? I'm not asking that we should change the constitutional decision of devolving water services. But you know, the decisions were taken that were taken that time. And now things have moved on, both in forestry, both water services and so on. So which things do you think that the department must carry on with this, well, for lack of a better question, carry on with this aspect called transformation? Haven't we arrived at the situation, that we should ask, transformation for whom and for what? Because, you know, it's good to say that there's transformation, but really, you can't transform for 13 years. Maybe because of the complexities in the department, the transformation is going on and on. So I hope you understand what I'm asking. Transformation. Same thing. Both of them. Some call it restructuring, some call it transformation. There's the transformation that deals with the constitutional obligations, and then there's also the department itself has gone through the restructuring. I'm asking this question because when the committee visited the department and we went through, you know, all of those aisles, we saw the funny brown envelope there, all of that stuff. And then we were shown an organogram. And the organogram that was shown to us didn't live up to the reality of what is currently happening. I think it's with that background that one is asking, is there a sense of, you know, for how long must there be transformation? So what are we restructuring? So who are we restructuring and transforming? Then, on the question of women's empowerment, the two things. So one is, I didn't see the expenditure in here. Maybe they are in one or other one. But I'm asking this because DOC has the awards every year. And so obviously that's one component of women empowerment. But secondly, you ask it when you come with your strategic plan, you'll see whether there are gender budgeting in the department. But for now, to what extent does the department comply with, in this instance, the Beijing platform of action, particularly on the water and forestry sections with regards to that? We're asking this because we couldn't understand when the department came to report to us earlier in the year. We didn't get a sense of, you know, where are you taking your women's empowerment to? It didn't come across very coherently, I'm afraid to say, to the department. And so I think if you just take this one aspect of the Beijing platform of action, it really spells out these are the areas that we need to deliver insofar as women's empowerment is concerned. In water and forestry, of course, land included in that one. The last question from my side is also on the question that the members asked on performance. In the annual report, what we don't see around the aspect of performance, and we should maybe suggest and ask whether in the annual report, in order to do a review of your performance focus. Well, there's obviously a number of different aspects that come in there, and they would relate to your organizational concerns. You would evaluate your past performance, but obviously your future performance also, but very important to your human resources development also. We thought that that's one of the treasury regulations that that's supposed to be included in the annual report. We don't see that. So we're not asking it because you are straddling it across the document, because that gives a sense, at least when you look at the financial aspect of the department, it can be evaluated against that sort of performance. So I really think this gives some clarification to us in that aspect. We're really asking that because if you look at all the other aspects in the finances, you know, all the little things that we spoke about before lunch, a lot of them have a bearing on the human resources development in our view. Yes, you have so and so. Over to yourself, and I Speaker. Sorry, I'm on the ball. Sorry? No, no. Later on.
I'm sorry for being late. As you know, I've been somewhere else. It's just on slide 4, the achievement on skills development, and I have to beg your pardon if you did maybe elaborate on this morning, but you referred to 1,932 employees that were trained at the cost last year of about 11.3 million rand. Your first bullet point there, and then you go further to refer also to other further training that was given, training provided to forestry personnel, and then your last main bullet also you refer to technical training and learning internship, another 7.79 million rand. Can you just explain to me, and I would hate to take that 11 million divided by 1,900 and say it was about 100,000 each, but or more. How does that work? How many people in total have you trained? Because if I had to look at the finances, and you just look at asset management, I must tell you the department looks terrible, and I would think the skills training is not working. So please explain to me, how many people did you train, in what specific sectors in the department were they trained at? What is your success rate? Was about a year ago we had a presentation where people were sent on some IT course and almost all failed. They didn't make it. So, you know, are people trained over and over again? But what is the result of this training of skills? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and to the members. Some of the responses, I'll refer them to my colleagues. But I'll take some of the questions, and then they will help me where I might not have dealt with all the issues raised. Firstly, I'll deal with the question of the women empowerment. I indicated that this still remains an area. The minister prioritized this. They still further work in terms of achieving their real imperatives of the Beijing platform. There is a recognition. But we just have to indicate that at a policy level, we are one of the departments that have done well. But it's a different matter to say, have you implemented the provisions that you have created in the policy? We're actually the front runner in terms of putting a gender policy that even the gender machinery in the state has to make reference to. Currently, I can indicate to the members that we are reviewing to say how far have we gone in terms of the actual implementation, because we have a minister that is very specific to say what have you achieved, and we have undertaken that particular study to say in all the programs, whether it's in forestry, whether it is in water itself, what are these issues that are emanating from the policy, what are the policy gaps, what is the actual implementation. Currently we are collecting data to say how many projects are we having in an organization, and then we are starting to do an assessment in terms of the Beijing platform, in terms of those indicators to say what have we achieved. But at the very same time, we have a reason to ensure that we bring that kind of a capacity within the organization, the understanding, the institutionalization, that any manager in an organization who does undertake a particular project, these imperatives are automatically included in the planning phase. The events that we've done as an organization, there are a number of them. The chair has referred to one, which is the Women in Water Award, Sanitation and Forest, of which we're transformed into including issues of sanitation and forest, plus only always issues of women in water. We have to indicate that it has been very successful. We have drawn to success stories of women from all the walks of life in terms of those particular projects. We might not have probably been very clear in the annual report to say what we have done that in terms of that. But we wanted to check in terms of the women organization that needs to be formed in all provinces, because the minister said that he wants to have an organization of women around water and forest. And then we're starting to say, these leaders, those people that participate in this competition, let's draw on them because they understand the terrain better, so that we form those organizations around them. They will become our agents in mobilizing those women on the ground. The events that we normally do in celebration of the Women's Month as part of the Women's Month program. In the period under review, I know for an example that in Limpopo, in one area in Kromhoek, we're able to see women doing it for themselves. They were there contributing to issues of service delivery, where you had your sanitation facilities that are being built. They were putting their own small enterprises around issues of making of blocks that were being supplied to form those particular sanitation infrastructure. These are the things that we can see that not only you are empowering women, but you are contributing to the bigger agenda. And then there were also needs that were being notified that the riches are attending to those needs of those particular women. The very same thing in this financial year, we had an opportunity to celebrate in Kimberley, where we're exposed to women that are involved in the project of waiting for water that started as laborers. They graduated because of the training that is within our own program. They became subcontractors themselves. And you can see that they're becoming small entrepreneurs that we expect that they will start to emerge because there are other beneficiaries, if you say the waiting for water program. There are a number of these particular examples. In terms of the question that is asked by the Honourable Member around the issues of 80% success rate around issues of NIA, we just have to indicate that we continue to have challenges in terms of issues of vetting of people, because in NIA there are issues of capacity in terms of processing them on time. But there's always been a continuous interaction in the department to ensure that we get that facilitation, especially people that need to be security cleared, that if they are cleared on time, they are participating. We are working around the clock to deal with those particular issues. That's why we could not attend to the 100% success rate, because our performance depends on the other things making us. On the question of the media coverage, the media coverage that we are referring to, we set our targets in terms of profiling the department, giving a positive image. Whether we are going for the electronic media, whether we are going for the print media, to say what do you need to do. And you look at the events that we have hosted to ensure that the department and our ministry get coverage. And we have been successful in doing that. Those are the success stories that we are referring to. Issues of media briefings that we ensure that through our communications that we are doing, we are getting that kind of attendance. But the standard is always coming to say, what are we setting ourselves to do in terms of the space that we need to commit to? Because in terms of the news, they choose whether to cover a particular event. But the relationship that we have always tried to have with the media houses in terms of government programs, in terms of communication, and also the work that was being assisted by the GCIS, because those were the ones that are responsible for government communication. It has always helped us to keep space around issues of service delivery to say how far we've gone as an organization. The issue around performance management in terms of having it to be a driven culture. We've admitted in the past years that if you remember the statement I said, the minister has said to I can approve performance bonuses in the meantime while you don't have performance agreements in place. As senior manager, get to put a foot down and provide that leadership. We're not doing well. But we have then said that let's institutionalize performance management because it's an issue that has been striking as an organization. I don't want to speak with, to compare us with the others. But in our own case, we have problems around the quality of the performance agreements we enter into, the workplace that we enter into. And then we have to go through a process of training managers how to use this important tool. And managers have been exposed to this training, and managers have been exposed to say, how can you improve the system itself? That's why one of the examples was even to do a review around the weightings that are given to and the priority given to financial management. We have covered that thing. But it becomes an ongoing exercise. You can do the trainings now. When you do the moderation, you can start to see how far the organization has improved. We can also respond to the question of performance bonuses. How do you adjudicate it? The legislation and policies make provisions. What do you do, the performance agreement or the work plan, which is a contract between the supervisor and the supervisee, they do an assessment in terms of performance on an ongoing basis. But then it is subjected to a moderating committee. in our case, because there are different levels. There are moderation committees from level 12 downwards in an organization that are headed by directors or chief directors. Where it varies, they come to that moderation committee, they do a presentation, you give a proposal of evidence, because there is a web plan which becomes your point of reference, and the proposal of evidence, and check whether the scores that have been agreed by the supervisor and supervisor are they justifiable. If they are justified, that committee can recommend in terms of the delegation, where various branches may sign off whether the bonus can be awarded or not. There is a system to ensure that there is moderation. The very same thing when it comes to senior managers, there is also a moderation committee that does the same. And then ultimately the recommendation is made by the accounting officer to the executive authority to consider whether can we award them or not award them. The systems are in place. The retention strategy, I can indicate that we will make arrangements that members, they do have an opportunity to scrutinize the document. But I can also indicate that the challenges around retention, we are also still awaiting for, because DPSA is also a lead department. If you look at the issues of health skills, what has been done for teachers and nurses, we are looking at those kind of initiatives to say how can we also tap on that, because our own retention strategy alone is inadequate to address the bigger challenges we have, especially around the question of health skills. The issues of salaries are very big. People are being paid very big outside. Sometimes we are not very competitive enough as government. But there are other mechanisms apart from salaries that we are looking at. We engage with the GSA, even the GNA cluster is continuously looking at these matters to say how do we move ahead. The issues around your need to improve gender mainstreaming, if you look at the two slides, they read with each other. And the other one indicates what we've been experiencing as a challenge, and then what are we putting in place as a system. We've just put it at a very high level to say we want to deal with that. And the matter around your service delivery improvement plan, I need to indicate that the service delivery improvement plan is a requirement. In terms of that it must be the part of the plans of the organization. That is immediately implemented. It's an improvement plan on the standards that we have already set. We have identified major services in the department that we want to communicate that when people, they access services in this organization around licensing and so forth, support the local government, you can name them in that plan. What can they expect and how should this department be responsive to that? Around this time, which is October, November, we normally do the review of the service delivery improvement plan to start to check where are the gaps between what we promised and what is the actual. So that by the time you receive the annual report for this financial year 7-8, we are able to say what then becomes another new service delivery improvement plan, because continuously we need to ensure that there is continuous improvement. It is already in place. I suppose that there is the question of retention that it's mostly issues of money that are there, because in terms of issues of conditions of service and so forth and issues of the culture, these are the issues we deal with. In terms of the public awareness around issues of water and forest, we feel we can do more. In terms of educating our citizens, we have identified a number of areas that we think we can put more of an effort. An example, Minister says one of her flagships last year in December is around the question of water conservation and demand management. And we look at how our own citizens in various areas, how they deal with the question of water, treating tests, issues, or those educational issues. These are the ones that we want to prepare an effort to deal with those issues. Around the pollution incidents that we need to deal with. But there are efforts of existing programs like your Vision 2020 that deals with the issues of the curriculum, because you want to catch them while they are still young, that you create this kind of culture of a water-wise and a forest-wise kind of a society. Those are the initiatives that we are dealing with. Even the people that we are also giving bursaries, we are ensuring that they get an understanding in terms of social cohesion around issues of water and forest, because we want to build that kind of a thing. We feel that it's our responsibility and the mandate of this ministry that the water issue takes the center stage in the lives of our people. And And that
not
is
the only one.
And in conclusion, I would request that maybe with your permission, Chair, my leadership deals with the constitutional issue of employment equity that was raised by the honourable member. And that will be all.
Minister, it's your right to respond, but I mean, the truth is there's a constitution in this country, and I'm not sure why must you answer whether we should break the constitution. But of course, if you want to defend breaking the constitution, it's your right.
Thank you for this wise counsel, Chairperson. No, I don't think I would want to respond to this, but I think the question from this gentleman. Now, I mean, it's difficult to answer, but what he's saying is very correct. So if you want to respond to that, any of you, because what he's saying is correct, people that have left the department go out, form companies, and they come back and consult and promise to do things that they couldn't do when they were in that very same position. Now, his question is, what defense mechanism, what have we put in place? I'm not sure if we have put anything in place, but I just want to say that it's something that is very relevant here as us. And then the question of the chair, we live in this. So the question that the chairperson asked, do you think the restructuring, how long, for what? The situation then when the decision was taken, I think it's twofold. It's just a resolution of the department, but it's also asking a question, even though it's a constitutional imperative, this devolving of function, this is part of the same question. I think that is also not answered.
In terms of the restructuring one, I'll request Mr. Dr. Chair, my DG Chandler, I will deal with that one. The question of the performance review, just in brief, Chair, it does. The performance review looks at it in totality. We have a work plan that has clear indicators to say these are the key strategic areas that person looks up. But within that, which is part of that contract between a supervisor and the supervisee, there is the HRC component part of it. And you do an assessment whether those obligations have been fulfilled.
Why don't we end it on that note? Because I think the point is you're not reflecting it in your annual report necessarily. You hear your answer, but it doesn't say in here the answers that you are giving. We're asking that you consider how you put that together. But the CFO wants you to answer it.
Thank you, Chair. The issue of performance review is something that we among the seven national departments that have been credited, you realize that there is no performance audit accompanying the particular annual report. There's already a framework that has been shared with us. We have had presented from National Treasury for us to be a pilot in the department to ensure that our information can be audited in the next financial year. So it's something that we're already working on under the leadership of the Chief Operating Officer. I don't know whether that answers your question, and if it answers, then I would like to answer another question that maybe you would answer about the monthly reports for the water trading account. It has been asked and it has been answered. For the water trading account, we have not proceeded with the monthly reporting as we do for the main exchange account. Instead, what we have done is that we have reported quarterly. So the first quarterly report came in at the end of June, and the second quarterly report will come out in September, the end of September. We are not doing it monthly, and the reason is that we are in the process of doing the refinement around the reporting issue, or the monthly reporting, the reconfiguration of the
session. Fine, we can, under Section 32, we can double-check what the CFO has just said on the trading accounts. Honourable members, I think that's the end of the administration. The suggestion is, thank you very much, the suggestion is that what we do is we take, and we are not being discriminated against, we take water services, water resource, and forestry together, because they really relate together instead of separately. And then we will engage, I think there'll probably be after your presentation be a quick break, and then that should get us into discussion and conclude the day on that basis. Ms. Mbasa, you can wait patiently.
Thank you very much, Chair, co-chairs, Minister, Honourable Members. It is indeed a fact that the health of the organisation is judged by how it manages its affairs, financial affairs. But I'm hoping that after our presentation here with my colleague from Forestry, we will change that perception to say, you know, not all is doomed in the department. There are areas that we're really doing very well, and we're hoping we will continue to have the trust that we can turn the situation around. Financial management is a very important focus of the department, not only for the CFO. It's also an integral part of what we are doing as well as line function managers. So I would like to confirm that we're doing our best to make sure that we work together with the CFO to turn the situation around. It is totally unacceptable. It's a concern that, you know, it covers everything else that we are doing so well. So let me say, in the interest of trying to answer some of the questions that have been asked around service delivery, the state of services, everything else around infrastructure, to say we have, I'll be covering, my presentation will be covering two legislations, the Water Services Act, which is basically about ensuring that a local government does deliver through support and everything else. But also, we are responsible for the National Water Act, which is more about ensuring that the resource is protected, the issues around pollution, which the chairperson of the NCOP talked about, and sometimes one gets a feeling that this is an area that is not so well reported on. But we are hoping that from now onwards, we will be focusing on this area. Let me say, the fact that our focus, with the limited resources we have, has been more on ensuring water services, and sanitation services on the ground, that has to a great extent compromised our ability to do what we believe is our core function. However, the situation is turning around, and that will be highlighted in my presentation. The approach here, we have looked at our threat plan. We have also incorporated some of the questions that have been asked by members, and I'm hoping that my presentation will be able to deal with the questions that have been asked. Let me talk about the structure, restructuring internally and externally. The current challenges of local government in delivering their services has been such that we are not able to just focus on what is our core business. We have been faced with a situation where we felt in some cases we had to come in and actually do service delivery. An example is the budget eradication program, where we have been very hands-on, where we have invested a lot of energy and resources to make sure that the program is a success. Another program would be the bulk infrastructure program, where we requested funding from Treasury to actually implement, and that funding was granted. This shows that in the interest of ensuring that people do get services, do get access to services within the stipulated time frame, Chairperson, we cannot afford to say we will just concentrate on what is our core business. That has caused some debates with regard to the kind of structure that we need to have internally to be able to perform these dual functions. The function of an implementer whilst you are a supporter and a regulator. And those debates have, it's actually from those debates that we had to come up with an appropriate structure that deals with the interim and the transition and the future. Again, looking at the external restructuring, it is indeed a fact that we have also, under the leadership of the minister, we have reached a stage where we are asking, Do we really need all the institutions we have? Do they have to perform the current functions that they are performing? What is it that that can be done to assist with the challenges of service delivery in the country? And it is in that context that the minister instructed us to look at organizational realigning institutional organizations. We're looking at all the institutions, whether they are delivering according to the mandate, and it is from that project that we'll be able to move forward. Again, when it comes to other research that we've been doing, for instance, we all know the controversy around the water use associations and their expected roles. It's within that context as well that we are asking, we busy transferring these schemes, but who are we transferring them to? Are people on the ground really benefiting? So there is work in that regard, and we're hoping that we will be able to answer those questions. I'm hoping that my colleagues will talk about the research and under forestry, which is also raising questions, because we are saying currently forestry has an important role in poverty alleviation, but has our experience really yielded those results? Let me proceed to my presentation. Here I'll be presenting on behalf of my colleagues, Harrison Chinav, and also on behalf of Cornelius Reuters. Looking at the water resources, the purpose of the program it's not the term, water resources. Apologies. The following one. Thank you, Chair. The purpose of the program is to ensure reliable and equitable supply of water for sustainable economic and social development. And maybe just to make an example about some of the things that really never come to the public attention. The fact that, for instance, we've never had a disaster where we have not been able to provide water to your Sasol, your Eskom, and that would have resulted into serious shortages in energy in the country is a good example that we are doing that very well. To develop effective water management institutions and to provide support to those institutions, speaks to the CNAs and the Water User Association, and this is where I referred to the current the review that we're currently looking at to make sure that institutions do perform according to their mandate. To ensure protection of water resources, it speaks to ensuring that the resource itself is a scarce resource, is protected. And at this stage, I'm tempted to try and address the question that was asked by the co-chair regarding hazardous waste. But maybe I can provide a more comprehensive response to that, because a lot of work has been done in that regard. But it's just an example to say this is the, what this function entails. To promote integrated water resource management, globally, particularly in Africa and in support of Nepal. Chairperson, here we have a responsibility to ensure that water is allocated accordingly, that there is alignment in terms of uses in water, and it's the role that is expected of the country within the continent and internationally as well. Looking at the achievements, from our interaction with Parliament, with the Portfolio Committee, there has been concern about lack of movement in this area, looking at water conservation and water demand management. We are proud to say, in the last year after the Minister had announced that this was one of her flagship programs, we managed to launch water efficient programs, starting with four provinces where we had identified weaknesses. Funding has been allocated in this regard, but it does not mean water use efficiency is not promoted in other parts of the country. For instance, we have a very good program in Mangaung where the council itself is driving a program of educating people, creating small companies to deal with water leaks within the municipality. So we are providing that kind of support, financial support. We have also provided people to deal with this function, and I would like members to look at these programs. Once we report on what we are doing, but also bear in mind that in the process we have trained people, we have also created jobs, and our focus, as always, is making sure that we empower women as well, because gender mainstreaming is an integral part of all the programs we are running. We have registered schools, as you know, that we have a very successful program where we engage in the youth in water conservation, and we are hoping, we are planning to take this program into Africa, actually, because it's a program that's doing very well. We have various initiatives, one of them in Limpopo around community water efficiency. I think I'll talk about it. We are also looking at involving the private sector, making sure that they do come up with funding that can assist in dealing with some of the problems around water conservation. Water allocation and support to the poor. Chairperson, in this area, I would be honest and say we have not done very well, and I would speak to the challenges. In the past year, we managed to provide 69 rain harvesting tanks for resource poor farmers in only four provinces. The reason was that even though we did have funding allocated, we had problems with the regulations, so we could not utilize that funding. However, the regulations have been finalized, and we are hoping that that will have a positive impact on the program. The key challenge around this water allocation reform program is its linkages with a land reform program and also with other programs within the Department of Agriculture. That is why it has been less successful. And also the complexities around the water rights as they stand currently. Continuing with water allocation and authorization, we started with the project for the development of a framework that is now to guide the process of compulsory licensing. We are hoping that through this process we'll be able to identify water that can be freed and reallocated to resource poor farmers. We've also developed a guideline to speed up the process of licensing. Sure, this has been an area of concern, and we have received a lot of criticism, rightly so. It has also delayed, had had a huge delay, or rather negative impact on our afforestation program. Under the leadership of the previous DG, we got service providers who assisted us in streamlining this process. We have also completed guidelines for water use for recreational purposes, and those are ready for implementation. Protection of the water resources. Here we're looking at, even though there's a lot of work really that is being done in this regard, for instance, a challenge around the pollution of the Fall River was raised in the morning. To that effect, I would like to respond by saying we do have a river health program. We have also finalized a strategy to involve members of parliament in participating in the protection of the rivers, where it's actually referred to as an Adopt a River program. Looking at the Working for Water program, which I believe is one of those programs that we're really proud of, we have in the past year managed to eradicate 828,000 hectares of alien species, and initial clearing covers 73,000 hectares in the provinces as indicated there. Herbicides applied to 720 to 960 hectares of weed in Northwest, where we had major problems, and this program has been very successful in creating jobs. I need to also say The Office of the Presidency is relying on this program, the Working for Water program, to contribute positively to the National Youth Service program that is being run from this end. Water management institutions. Chair, I did mention earlier on that this is an area where we're doing serious introspection with the objective of ensuring that we strengthen our oversight, first of all, that we streamline the contribution that these institutions need to make to the overall agenda of the department, and to make sure that the institutions are responding to the current challenges in the service delivery environment. In the past year, we established four CMAs, and we are also trying to improve the monitoring of the water use association. Chair, you will recall that one of the first weaknesses that the minister observed when she joined the department was our ability to provide effective oversight over our institutions. I'll be speaking to that at a later stage. Coming to promotion of integrated water resource management globally in Africa and internationally, we have participated actively in water forums internationally, not only the World Water Forum, and that also speaks to the cost that the department incurred, higher costs that the department incurred for international traveling. Chairperson, I must say, whenever we attend these forums, we are often pleasantly surprised by the respect and admiration that our country gets with regard to not only to our legislation, but some of the programs that we are running as a department. For instance, just to make an illustration, when we attended the World Water Week in Stockholm, our minister was specifically asked to play a leading role by the president of the Council of the World Water Forum in influencing the agenda. And we thought we really need to use it to the best of the advantage of our country, but more importantly, to the best of the advantage of Africa, to make sure that African issues do feature in the agenda of these conferences. We've also been doing very well in our participation in shared water courses. Again, it's an area that is recognized worldwide, that our institutional arrangements and the kind of agreements that we have with the neighboring countries with which we share resources is something that can be learned from. We hosted in the last year SADC Minister meeting, SADC Minister of Water meeting, and we're also proud to say we won the right to host the UNESCO Help, actually Help Hydrological Environment. Please forgive me, I got the information, but it's a health symposium that should be held in November 2007, looking at the hydrological management of information, the hydrological side. We also prepared negotiations on the United Forum, Forestry Forum, and documents have been finalized to that effect. Our oversight responsibilities. Here we have noted the concerns that have been repeatedly raised by the committee on our challenges around this function, and I did speak to the concerns raised by the minister as well. There has been some work and improvement in this regard. We have taken note of your recommendation, and I think for the first time in the history of the department, last year when we did our strategic planning review, we included our entities, and that was an initiative that was received with a great positive spirit, because for the first time the institutions were saying, for the first time we feel we are part of the department and we understand better how we can contribute to the strategy of the department. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. However, I need to say the project that the minister has initiated will give further guidance and leadership on this initiative. During the year under review, we also began a process of investigating the disestablishment of two water boards, and I'm sure you are familiar with the challenges facing those two water boards. However, I need to say this is a very lengthy process. The investigations will definitely give us recommendations, but Chair, this is something that we need to put time frames to. Challenges regarding this program. I did indicate earlier on that the interdependence, and this is not only speaking to the water allocation reform, I think it's about all our programs, Chair, the interdependence of this program, the water allocation program, to the land reform program is a challenge. Fortunately, we have met with the, we do now have a forum, even though it's not functioning to the level that it should, a forum where we discuss these issues with the Department of Agriculture and land reform. The implementation of the charter in the licensing itself will be a problem. And this is mainly going to come from the challenges of the existing water rights and the need, the challenges that we can anticipate in verifying the lengthy process that this whole process is likely to take is also a challenge. The delays in the licensing process, as I did speak to the fact that we have tried to streamline the process to make sure that we have a shorter turnaround. The need for to develop an effective governance framework and capacity for oversight, I've already talked to this. Chair, can I quickly proceed to the National Water Resource Infrastructure? And again, let me start, Chair, by a brief introduction. One of the core functions of the department is to make sure that there is water to support economic growth in the country. And this branch is playing a critical role in that regard. The achievements briefly, the establishment of the branch, as we know that DDG Cornelius Reuters is responsible. And there has been some consolidation. It has been a very lengthy process, but we are proud to say at least that has been attained. The posts for management have been advertised, but again, the fact that it's tricky, it's very difficult to get the necessary skills in this area, there has been some delays. However, we have managed to fill some of those posts. The appointment of the DDG, as you mentioned that. Let me speak to progress on development of infrastructure. And so maybe just to take the opportunity to highlight the importance of this branch and make an example. In Limpopo, we are told that the mining potential in Limpopo remains untapped. And up to now, that development, that mining potential has not been explored because there is no water. To us as a department, it means we have to ask ourselves very serious questions. What is it that we need to do proactively to make sure that we provide water to support economic growth in the country? That is a function up to now that we've been aware of, we've been building dams, but you know, it has not been a conscious strategy to respond and support the current policy of government. So this branch will be playing a very critical role, and as a department as well, we're doing some work to see how we can programmatically, in a proactive way, make sure that when it comes to water, water is always available to support the objectives of economic growth and poverty alleviation. An example, construction of the work dam, which is underway, and I need to mention that this dam will not only support mining development in Limpopo, it will also benefit about 8,000 households which are around Limpopo. So that is why we're saying meeting the 20, 208 water services, Chal and Target in the bubble may be compromised by this target, because by the time we don't anticipate that the dam would have been complete. The B charter, David did talk about this, and again, it's one of those innovative ways of embracing the principles of transformation and make sure that they are very well institutionalized. The partnership that we managed to develop between the department, leadership of the province, and I think here we all know that currently water security in the country is only better in the areas that where in the field, typical Bantu sense, you will see serious challenges around water security. That is why we have these challenges in the problem. Other projects that proceeded well is Flat Michelo. I am told that it's been complete. We will now have additional water to serve not only the industries but the communities as well. Others are Livuvu, Amathole, water scheme in the Eastern Cape, Dusuwe, which will also be serving not only the agricultural sector but also communities, and Sabi River and the Berg. Mm-hmm. So we'll be reporting more on the Berg in the next financial year, even though we know that a lot of achievement has been done in that regard. Refurbishment and operation and maintenance. We've supplied water in terms of agreements. I did make an example of the surety of supply that we have with our major users like your Sasol, your Eskom, etc. We have been involved in refurbishment of other infrastructure to improve performance. I can make mention of the I'll get back to it. We have been also been involved in various rehabilitation of infrastructure, and it's mainly to make sure that we improve our assurance of supply, and also to make sure that we meet the growing demand for water to supply economic development, to support economic development in the country, and to minimize, of course, the failures. Chairperson, that deals with part two of my presentation. Chair, please allow me to come to the part where I am directly responsible. And this is about water services. The overall objective...
Sorry, CCG. I wanted us to take a quick counter break, and then we'll finish off the water services and forest. It's a human need. Let's come back in 10 minutes, honorable members and everyone. At this point also, thank you very much, honorable minister. Honourable Ngizi is not here, so you can go now. You did ask how you're going to stay all day. Not here. You outstayed in here. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. I'm sure our next interaction on the annual report would be the report of the Portfolio Committee and the NCLC to your office today and tomorrow. Thank you.